You are listening to BensTorah.com.
Suga that we're going to discuss tonight is the Suga Tashbisu. But it's not just the Suga Tashbisu, it's a very halakha l'maisa that the Rabbanim in our neighborhood, the Rabbanim around the world, have worked very seriously to figure out the best eitza, and that is the discussion of what should we do with our chametz this coming Erev Yontif on Wednesday morning. Because, of course, the custom we've always had, the custom of Klal Yisrael, to burn our chametz, and being that certainly in the village of Lawrence and the village of Woodmere, the public burnings of chametz is not going to happen because the government is concerned, because of coronavirus, that there shouldn't be people coming together and gathering in a group and to avoid transmission, chas v'shalom, of terrible disease. So everybody's going to be doing it on their own. Now, if everybody does it on their own, there are a number of issues that arise. Number one is a safety issue. Not everybody is fire aware enough to safely burn their chametz and not cause fires. And the Woodmere Fire Department, they know, sent a letter to the Rabbanim asking the Rabbanim to tell their fellow Rabbanim not to have fires in everybody's backyard, because that is just not safe. It's going to put a toll on the Woodmere Fire Department. I assume the Lawrence Fire Department is, I don't know if they put out a notice to the shul, but their concerns are no different. Secondly, let's assume that somebody would burn a fire in their backyard, their front yard. So if you know that your next door neighbor is putting a fire on summer night in a garbage can, a metal garbage can in his backyard, why should you ruin your garbage can? You go to his house and you use his garbage can, and this way you'll minimize the number of fires you have to make on the block. And it's going to end up being a lot of people coming together, gathering together, if not all of the community at the train stations, the whole community, to burn their chametz. But you're going to have congregating groups on different blocks of people trying to divide their chametz together. So therefore the suggestion has been made that maybe we should flush it down the toilet. And that's, there's certainly a way to get rid of the chametz. And for example, if it was in a Pesach Shechal Yos B'Shabbos and we have to get rid of our chametz, that would be what we could do. But that's because on our Pesach there's no option. You don't have the option of beer, you don't have the option of strepa. On a weekday, on Wednesday, you have the option of strepa. So the question we have to figure out is, what would halacha say in a scenario? Again, we're not saying that it's the greatest danger, but there is an aspect of mitigating risk by not burning. But how chashuv is the inyan, the chiyuv, the doraisa, to burn the chametz specifically through strepa on Erev Pesach as a way to destroy our chametz? So we have to keep in mind that when we speak about chametz, we have to, wow, that's a pincer. You're joining us from the emergency room. Thank you. That's very inspiring to us that you have somebody in my Shabbat Shuvah from the emergency room on the front line treating the city from COVID-19. Thank you, that's a pincer, for joining us. What we have to keep in mind is that when we talk about chametz, there are two issues to speak of. One is not violating Bali Rabbi, you must say, and the other is the Kiyom HaSei of Tashbisu. Bali Rabbi must is Lotz HaSei, but Tashbisu is the Mitzvah HaSei. So clearly, to get rid of the Issa Daraisa of Bali Rabbi, you must say, all you have to do is anything. You could be masking your chametz. You could throw that into the middle of the street. You could flush it down the toilet. And that will certainly get rid of your chametz and take care of the Issa of Bali Rabbi, you must say. However, we're not talking about that today, tonight. We're going to be discussing this evening the Mitzvah HaSei Daraisa of Hayom HaRishon, Tashbisu, Tzaharmi Batechem, Tashbisu means Tevaru, destroy chametz. So to get into this again, I'm going to share with you my screen of Marmakomos. You know I like giving out Marmakomos, and just because you are all in your own living rooms, that doesn't mean that we shouldn't have Marmakomos to learn together. So I'm going to share with you my screen of Marmakomos, and I ask, is there a way for you to look at the screen of Marmakomos and still find my video? If you could take a minute and find my video and pin my video to your screen on the top right of my picture, if you look around to find me on your screen, my picture of me talking, on the top right is a three dots. If you hover your cursor over my picture, you'll see three dots, and you'll see a phrase that says pin video or pin picture and pin me, and you'll get to see me. If you have the screen of my Makamos and the picture of me, can you just give me a thumbs up so I can see if people see? Thumbs up, okay? Thumbs up, okay. So if you see me, please find me and pin me to your screen so you'll be able to see my face and my mother said my beautiful face, and we'll go from there. Okay. So it goes like this. We're going to start the sugya that we're talking about is Mitzvah Tashbisu. Can you flush chametz or does chametz have to be burnt? So we have a mission to stuck in, and this mission is really what we're going to have to figure out. The Mishnah says, settled after the palace, the Mishnah says, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, ain't beer chametz el esreifa. So the Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is that you have to burn chametz to the fire. Chachamim Roman asked the fire of Israel, the Ruach, Omasi Layam. Chachamim say that there are other options. You could crumble it up, and you could throw it into the wind, or you could throw it into the water, to be dispersed in the water. We're not going to go into a different Gemara that talks about when you throw it into the water, do we also apply the word mefarer? Is it crumbling only necessary for the wind, or necessary for throwing it into the water? That's a Gemara elsewhere, not for now. What we have is a machlok, is Rabbi Yehuda Chachamim. And the basis of tonight's year, the topic of tonight's year, is who do we pass him like? That's our goal tonight, to figure out who do we pass him like. If we pass him like Rabbi Yehuda, that the mitzvah of Yir Chachmet is indeed to do Dreifa, then it's going to be hard to argue why we should be Mekel this year and flush it down the toilet. On the other hand, we hold like Chachamim, that the Hikr Hadin is to throw the Chachmet into the wind, to disperse it into the ocean, so it's not a big deal. Okay, maybe we have a nice little minhag, I don't want to call it Chassidish minhag, but a late day minhag to try to burn it just for fun, even though we don't pass like that. So that's going to be much easier to push aside for the sake of a little bit of adding to our safety, of mitigating a little bit of risk in terms of our interacting with other people. So that's going to be the topic. Figuring out tonight, Rabbi, who do we pass like in this mission? Which of these Tanoim do we pass like? That's our goal for this evening. Before we see, the main focus that we're going to be working on is the rush that we'll see in a few minutes. But the rush is going to quote one or two Gemaras. If we look at those Gemaras, we're going to have a picture of who we should pass like among these Machlokes Tanoim. Comes the Gemara Tzemura Dachalam Gimel and tells us something very simple. The Gemara in the Mishnah Tzemura that some of you learned just a few months ago talk about different things that are Asur B'Hanah, some of which are supposed to be buried. buried Elohein HaNikvarim, and some of them are supposed to be burnt, Elohein HaNitzrafim. So let's look for a moment at this Mishnah, which is a Stam Mishnah. There's no focus in this Mishnah. The Elohein HaNitzrafim, Tchomet B'Pesach Yisorev, which Ruma Tmeya, V'Olav Kilay HaKarim. So we see clearly that the Mishnah seems to be saying that Tchomet B'Pesach is supposed to be burnt. That's clearly an indication. This is a Mefusha Mishnah, Stam Mishnah, that is passing L'Hachmir, like Rav Yehuda, that you have to burn it specifically. So it seems like we have Machlokes in Pesachim, but we have a Stam Mishnah in Tzemura that says that we're supposed to be burning our Chomet and not flushing it down the toilet or throwing it into the wind or crumbling it into the ocean. Now, where does this halacha come from? This halacha of Rav Yehuda that you're supposed to burn, you see Rashi over here in source number 2 says, Chomet B'Pesach, B'Pesach, the first time I'm not going to go to the source with you inside, come on, let me know, sir. Just as a Gzeret, there's a limit from Noser, the Chomet, just like Noser, it's the carbon that's left over past the timeline that is supposed to be consumed, the Noser has to be burnt. So too, Rav Yehuda understands, Mida Raisa, the Chomet also needs to be burnt on Erev Pesach. So if that's the case, we have a Mefurisha Mishnah that seems to be paskening the machlokas that we have in the Mishnah Pesachim. What is this called? This is called the Sa'am Achakaf Machlokas, this is called Machlokas Achakaf Sa'am, which typically would mean if you have Machlokas in one Mishnah, and later on you have a Sa'am Mishnah, like one of those opinions, that should lead us to believe that we paskin Lachmed like Rav Yehuda that you have to burn your Chomet. That means that there's no playing around. The Din is, and there's a Din, the Oraisa, the Rabbos, the limit from the Nosar, Gomel Lemi Nosar, the Lashem of the Oraisa, we learn from Nosar that you need to, on a Oraisa level, to burn your Chomet. The Gemara comments in source number 3, the Gemara Tumor makes this same point and says, Veilin Ap Mesrafim on a Machlokas, but the Gisari says the Gemara explicitly, Sasa Montana, if you look at my cursor will be there in a moment, my cursor is right there, Sasa Montana, Karev Yehuda. We have this second Mishnah, the Mishnah of Tumor that says that you're supposed to burn the Chomet is just like the opinion of Rev Yehuda. The Omar Ains, your Chomet, Elevis Refa. So we have a Mefurisha Mishnah in Tumor that seems to pass and like the question that we are trying to figure out, and that is the Mitzvah of, Vir Chomet Dakavis Refa. Okay? So that's one proof that we have that we should have to destroy from Bedakka on a level at Deoraisa, and that's how we pass it. Let's look at one more source. One Pesachim Daf Hey. Now here the Gemara is trying to figure out what does the Torah mean when the Torah says, Ach Bayom HaRishon Tashbisu is only Batekah. That this mitzvah of Tashbisu of destroying Chomet is Bayom HaRishon. What does the word Bayom HaRishon mean? So the Gemara tries to figure out, you and I know from our own experience, Bayom HaRishon, we don't burn our Chomet on the first day of Pesach. That would be pretty bad, because we'd already be getting Malkus for the Pesach for the Chomet that we had in the morning, if we bought it at least. But what does the pasuk mean? Ach Bayom HaRishon Tashbisu Tzoni Batechem. I don't like Sukkot. The word Bayom HaRishon, L'kafel Lachem Bayom HaRishon means the first day of Sukkot. We take a look at that Midaraisa. So you're going to tell me that the same Bayom HaRishon by Pesach also means the first day of Pesach? So the Gemara is going to have numerous ways to prove that the mitzvah of destroying Chomet of Tashbisu, of this pasuk, Ach Bayom HaRishon Tashbisu Tzoni Batechem, to destroy Chomet on the first day, doesn't mean the first day of Pesach, rather mean Erev Pesach. Now, let's look at least one of the ways the Gemara proves that, and that's the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says, the Gemara Pesach Dachay, Rabbi Akiva Omer, I'll prove to you that Chomet, that the day of destroying Chomet is Bedafka on Erev Pesach, not on Pesach. How can I prove it? Says Rabbi Akiva. Harei Omer, Ach Bayom HaRishon Tashbisu Tzorni Batechem. Uchsev, and we know the Torah says about Yom Tov, Kol Melacha Lo Yaseh Lahem. U'matzil La'avar Asher Yad Melacha. Rashi explains that we know that lighting a fire is considered a melacha, if it's not for the purpose of food, if it's not for Ochal Nefesh, and we're not allowed to do melacha on Yom Tov. So here, how could the Torah say that I should burn the Chomet, that I should destroy the Chomet of fire, I should destroy the Chomet on the first day of Pesach, if I know I'm not allowed to do melacha on the first day of Pesach, and burning Chomet is not Achi Ochal Nefesh? So it must be that, what do we see? What is Rabbi Akiva saying? Omer Rabbi Shmami Rabbi Akiva, Ein Vi Yochamet Eldes Reifa. And Rashi says, the very fact that he says, what's my proof that the Shpisa Tzomit Batechem, Bayom HaRishon Tashpisa Tzomit Batechem? Why am I supposed to, how do I see from that puzzle that has to be on Erev Pesach? Because it can't be that you destroy Yochamet on Pesach, because you're not allowed to light fires on first day of Pesach. You're not allowed to light bonfires on first day of Pesach. You can cook. That's for food. You can't just randomly light fires. I want to tell you halacha, total tangent for 30 seconds. People do not realize, if a person on Yom Tov would cook a food for their animal, or lahavdil from an animal to a, for a non-Jew, that would be an issa d'oraisa chiyuv kares. If they cook it for a Jew, then all of a sudden it's ochal nefesh and it's mutar l'chatchila. There's no hetzer to cook on Yom Tov. There's a hetzer to cook for a Jew. So lighting fire isn't something that's okay on Yom Tov. Lighting fire that's for ochal nefesh, okay, very good. But if it's not for ochal nefesh, for example, to destroy chomet, that's going to be an issa d'oraisa. And that's really the proof that you can't light your chomet on fire, that you can't be, the Torah can't mean to destroy your chomet on the first day of Pesach, because then you would not be able to burn the chomet. And burning chametz is what the mitzvah of destroying the chametz is. That the pasuk says tashbisu tzoni batechem on the first day. The Rashi explains that this big Rashi. Rashi explains that it must be that Bayom HaRishon, the day that you have the mitzvah tashbisu, must be on Erev Pesach. Oh, if it's on Erev Pesach, then it's mutter light fires. What do you see from this? You see from this that Rabbi Akiva is also assuming, or is tasking like Rabbi Yehuda, that there's a chiyuv to light your chametz on fire. And Rashi explains, are you allowed to flush toilets on Yom Tov? I certainly hope so. I certainly do. I assume every single person here flushes the toilet on Yom Tov. Are you allowed to flush whatever you want down the toilet? The answer is yes. So are you allowed to crumble bread on Yom Tov? The answer is yes. There's no tochen acha tochen in flour. You crumble, you can throw it to the wind, you can throw it to the ocean. Why can't you get rid of your chametz on the first day of Pesach? It must be that the chiyuv to get rid of chametz is only through fire. So we now have another proof, yet another proof, that the halacha is, like Rabbi Yehuda, that tashbisu is specifically through lighting the fire. And that is the incredible chumrah that we have, two gemaras that seem to be explicit, asking like Rabbi Yehuda, that you have to light your chametz on fire as the means to fulfill the mitzvah of tashbisu, to destroy your chametz on Erev Pesach. So let's say, we went to the gemaras inside, now let's get to the Rishonim and see how the Rishonim are going to analyze the various sources that we just learned together. The Rush comes and starts off saying the following. Says the Rush in source number 5, Rashi Pasak Rabbi Yehuda. Rashi passes like Rabbi Yehuda that the halacha indeed is you have to light your chametz on fire. No flushing down toilets, guys. You have to light it on fire. Why? Well, he quotes the gemaras that we quoted. First of all, the Sefer Mantana Kavasei B'Tzmura, we said that you're supposed to elang on his rafin, right? These are the things that are out of banana that don't get buried, that's supposed to be destroyed through fire, through trepa, and one of them was chametz. That was that gemara that we learned together. Look at the screen. That was the gemara that we learned over here. Elang on his rafin. So that's the proof that it has to be burnt. Continues to rush another source. They grow another ayah. The ayah that we just saw from the other Gemara that says, oh, we see from the fact that Tashbitzu Zara on the first day means Erev Pesach, because you can't light a fire on Pesach, it must be that lighting a fire is the way you destroy the chametz. So that's Shikas Rashi, with the two important sources that we just learned together. Oh, however, continues the Rash, Ha'ga'onim Pasku Kachachonim. Ooh, even the Rashi is machmir that you have to light a fire. The Ga'onim said that you're allowed to fulfill Tashbitzu and destroy your chametz in Erev Pesach through any means. You don't have to use fire. You can't flush it down the toilet. Oh, I thought we have a Stam Mishnah in Tzemura. Didn't we say that you have a Machlokas of Sachim, and a Stam Mishnah later on in Shas, in Tzemura, Machlokas, Sachaka, Stam, you have Machlokas, and a little while later you have the Mishnah of Yudah Nasi composed as one Stam Mishnah without a Machlokas, so we should always pass like the Stam Mishnah, right? Oh, the answer is the Rush. No. That rule of Machlokas, Sachaka, Stam, you'll always follow like the Stam, Sach, is only within one Mesechta. However, Kaimalan said the Rush, the Trey Mesechta, when you have two different Mesechtas, ain't say that. There's no rule of, oh, we have a Stam Mishnah and Machlokas. There's Machlokas. It happens to be in Tzemura there's a Stam Mishnah, but it's still Machlokas. So how do you pass it in a Machlokas, Rabbi Ustai? You should have screamed that at me. You should have unmuted yourself and screamed that at me. Maybe I didn't let you unmute yourself. Sorry. You should have screamed that at me that, there's Machlokas of Yudim Chacham. Of course, we're going to go like Chacham and tell the Rabbim. And that's indeed how the Gaonim decided. And the Bala Isser and the Ben Yonah. Kaimalana, as you see, highlighted on my screen, betray Mr. Sefta, saying, Sefta, Vachim Ken, Halacha, Kirabim. We pass him like the Chachamim, and say you are allowed to destroy your Chametz through flushing it down the toilet, and through other means. So what do we have, Rabbi Sai? We have a Machlokas Rashi, and those with him would say that you have to destroy your Chametz. That's the way you do the Mitzvah Daraisa. And the Gaon would say you could destroy your Chametz in all other ways, including by flushing it down the toilet. So what should we do? We have Machlokas Rishonim. Comes the Rashi and says, Lachain, Roi Lahachmir Ulitzarfo. It should be Machmir. Suffix the right to al-Khumra, right? It's a suffix the right. So what does the word Tashbisu in the Torah mean? I have a mitzvah the right to destroy my chametz on Erev Pesach. And it's a machlokas Rishonim whether I should destroy with fire or if I could destroy with other ways, flushing it down the toilet, machlokas, and it's a suffix of the Raisa. Then it's the Rush, we should be machmir, suffix the right to al-Khumra. And what do we have to do? We have to destroy our chametz with Zreifa. That's what the Rush seems to be telling us. Okay. So that was the first half of this piece about destroying the chametz. But there's another half. There's another Gemara that we're going to have to look at that's going to flip everything we learned on its head. And after we see the next piece, we'll be able to come back home and figure out what to do halakha l'maisa this coming Wednesday. Are we allowed to flush it down the toilet, or do we have to make sure that we have a fire, somebody in our neighborhood has a fire, we can burn it in a fire? So we've been learning from Yehuda. From Yehuda's opinion, it says that, let me just look, there are a number of questions that people have asked. Let me just look at my questions for a minute. Okay, so somebody asked this question, is it visa mitzvah to throw down the toilet? Do you make a bracha in that case? I don't understand. We only make a bracha on the bezika, we don't make a bracha on the beer. And even if you wouldn't find any comments, you would yet make the bracha on the bezika. So the bracha is unrelated to how you're going to actually get rid of it tomorrow. Is it a bizli? Well, we don't really like it. You know, is it a bizli to kill a malach? Yeah, but it's supposed to kill a malach anyway. Is it a bizli to destroy a chametz? Yeah. Okay, then somebody said, yeah, we'll have to hire plumbers to stuff the toilets. That's a good point, but you could crumble it and it will go down just fine. But somebody said a question, Rabbi Wilmatke is a very good question. He said, why? Rabbi Wilmatke had a suggestion. He said, you're not allowed to burn your chametz because you're not allowed to light a fire on Yantif. Rabbi Wilmatke asked, why don't you burn your chametz and use it to cook your food? So indeed, you're burning your chametz for your food purposes. The answer is, if this chametz is also the hana, you're not allowed to get hana from the flames of this chametz, even if you light it on fire. And it's actually from the first decision of the Shulchan Aruch. I think that's how the Gishma Shulchan Aruch comes out. You're not, after this man is there on Erev Pesach, certainly on Pesach itself, it's also the hana, you're not allowed to use that fuel, even though you're going to be burning your fire, you're not allowed to use that fuel to light your fire. Isn't the chametz muksa? That's a good question, but we're talking about a d'oraisa level mitzvah tashbitz. The question was, oh, maybe you could burn your chametz on Pesach. No, because it's you're not allowed to fire. What about muksa? The answer to that is that muksa is this is a rabbanan. If you have a mitzvah d'oraisa tashbitz, then the mitzvah d'oraisa tells you to burn your chametz if it would be on Pesach. But that's the word by Yom Rishon men, so the Torah is telling you to do it. So the Torah tells you take your chametz and burn on the first day of Pesach. I'm not going to be worried about muksa. Zev Goldberg asked, is there shita that eating it? I think I'm not sure what you mean. I don't know if you're asking. When we talk about tashbitz, you only have to burn a kedais. But that means it's a mitzvah that's safe for all of us to fulfill the mitzvah of tashbitz on Halitza Kazayis. So let's say you have three loaves of bread left on Erev Pesach, on Wednesday. No one says that you have to put three loaves of bread in a fire and make a, you know, a Lag BaOmer bonfire, like, you know, like the Yerushalmi kids. They light the whole city on fire, they take the dumpsters and they collect wood for months and months, and they make a fire bigger than, like, the, you know, the seven-story buildings in Yerushalayim. You don't need to do that. You need to throw away all of it, except leave yourself one kezayis that you're going to do tashbitz on. But we have to figure out, you need a fire for that kezayis. Or could you flush that kezayis down? So that's sufficient to fulfill the mitzvah of tashbitz. So I just shared my screen with you, and we're now going to get deeper into understanding Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. The Rosh just told us that we have to be machmir, and we are required as a suffix daraisa l'chumra, on Erev Pesach, seemingly daraisa, to burn our chametz in a fire. But let's dig into Rabbi Yehuda's brains and see when he says that, why he says that, and what he really says, and we're going to come out with a surprise. Please join me at source number 6, the Gemara Masechta Daf Yud Beis. Comes Rabbi Yehuda and says, Emasai, with Rashi, Emasai and the Omer, then Envy your chametz daraisa. When is it that I hold that you have to put the srefa, and you can't flush it down the toilet? Look at these next words, because they can be very difficult to put a wrap our heads around. Shalom b'shat b'uro. When do you have to do srefa? That's shalom b'shat b'uro. Aval. But Rabbi Yehuda, the one who says that you have to do srefa, says, b'shat b'uro, ashpatzot of the whole davar. If you're going to destroy your chametz b'shat b'ur, then you could destroy it however you want. What are those words? What does it mean that in the time of b'ur chametz, then you could destroy it however you want? Shalom b'shat b'ur chametz, then you could destroy, then you must destroy it through fire. But look at Rashi. Look at Rashi. Look what Rashi says. Shalom b'shat b'uro. What does it mean? When does Rabbi Yehuda say that you have to burn it with fire? Rashi's talking about before Chatzos. Let's say on a day that's 6 to 6, 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. is a day, and noon, 12 noon is Chatzos. So of course we know that starting at 10 a.m. you're not allowed to eat chametz from Midrabanan, and starting at 11 a.m. you're not allowed to get handa from chametz. So when do we usually burn the chametz? We usually burn the chametz at that 11 o'clock hour, that's 6 hours a day. And during that, from 11 till 12 noon, it's going to come out to Daraisa, says the Yehuda, that's when I hold, that's when you and I burn our chametz, by the way. We burn our chametz before it's off to Daraisa. Once it's off to Daraisa at noon, I hope it's burnt by then. You have to destroy it, it has to be destroyed before that. So that's where Rabbi Yehuda said, that's when I require you to burn it. Before this money is before noon. At 11 o'clock in the morning, which is when you and I burn our chametz. That's when we have to burn our chametz. Aval, Rashi explained the next week to the Gemara. Aval b'shat b'yuro, b'shev ha'shul musim b'nat Torah. If you're going to burn your chametz after chatzot, when somebody also writes its own chametz, and you have to define chametz after the man is there, when you're looking around to it, you forgot to get to your chametz, you're busy, you're stuck in traffic, and you have to burn your chametz later in the day, for an hour, later in the day, or on Pesach itself, then get rid of it however you want. That's not the mitzvah of destroying of, that's not the mitzvah of fire, that's not the mitzvah of srefa. Then, ashpatzot of the get rid of it however you can, just get rid of it fast. What is Rashi saying? Rashi doesn't help us. Rashi is telling us that if we have our chametz in our Pesach, when you and I burn the chametz before noon, because what is noon? We're violating this running chametz, this is running chametz. So when we burn it before noon, you have to burn it with fire. Yeah, if I have to have leftover chametz afternoon, when it's running out to the right, and I'm very violent, I'm a terrible Jew for violating this running chametz, I still have to burn it. I'm sorry, I still have to destroy it, but I can destroy it in any which way. Comes Tosfos right over there and says, I don't understand how you explain this Gemara, Mr. Rashi, Rabbi Rashi. Kashma Beit Tam. Tosfos is going to ask three questions on the pshat that we just explained. Because if you look at the Gemara that we just learned a moment ago, Rabbi Yehuda said, why do you have to burn it? Shalom b'shat b'uro. Rashi explained, I mean, before you have to destroy the chametz. About b'shat b'uro, Rashi explains, once it's already man it's a chametz, then you can do it however you want. Tosfos says, no, wait a second. Tosfos asks, how in the world are you able to wait to burn the chametz till the afternoon? You're not allowed to wait till the afternoon. If you order it in the, if you're going to have it in the afternoon, it's going to be after. And furthermore, says Tosfos, what's the time you're supposed to burn it? Well, when do you and I burn our chametz? We burn it at 11 in the morning. That's sheish shows. So the 6th to 7th hour, meaning that through the 6th hour, it's 11 to 12 a.m., 11 a.m. till 12 noon, that's when we burn it. That's what b'shat b'yura means. B'shat b'yura is when you can do it any which way, that's when you and I burn it. Oh, furthermore, this is a puncher. This is a clincher. What's the whole source for Rebbe Yehuda? Why does Rebbe Yehuda say you have to burn the chametz specifically to the safe and not do anything else? We mentioned it a few minutes ago that he learned it from Nosar. Okay. When is it that Nosar has to be burnt? Well, where's leftover, right? When it's past the time, when the time is expired, that's when you have to burn it. Oh, and if that's the whole source, listen to this, it's beautiful synthesis. If the whole source of burning chametz in the first place is from Nosar, meaning what? That once Nosar becomes Osar, when you left it over till the next morning, till dawn the next morning, you should have ate the carbon meat by dawn, and you didn't, it now becomes Osar, you must burn it Nosar from the chametz. Meaning, once you're no longer allowed to have the chametz, and you buy the it's the only chametz, meaning it's ready 12 noon, now you have to burn it. Which means, Tosfos therefore concludes, that you only have to burn the chametz after 12 noon. Let me rephrase that. When does Rabbi Yehuda say? Rabbi Yehuda requires srefa. When does Rabbi Yehuda say you have to do srefa? That's if you still have chametz left over after 12 noon. Chas v'shalom, you should have chametz left over. But if you do after 12 noon, that's when you require chametz. And therefore, if it's before 12 noon, if it's the way you and I look at what I just highlighted for you, if it's when you and I burn the chametz, which is from 11 in the morning till 12 noon, that's shelo b'shat b'uro, then you don't have to burn the chametz. In other words, and so this concludes with the flip side, about b'shat b'uro, when the Gemara said, hold on, let me show you that Gemara again. When the Gemara said, Vish'as b'uro, you could destroy it however you want, Tosfos said, I underlined it on the bottom of the screen in front of you, Vish'as b'uro, that means when you and I burn our chametz. That's b'uro, that's at 11 in the morning, when you and I burn the chametz. Look what Rashi, well, look what Tosfos says. Aval b'shas yuro. The height of sheish when you and I burn at 11 a.m. Kevan she'enu mitzvah l'faru elam mizabonan. Since at 11 a.m. it's only a mitzvah d'abonan to burn the chametz. Ashmasato b'chol davar. You could destroy it any which way. So whereas Rashi learned that Rabbi Yehuda requires sreifa when we burn our chametz at 11 to 12 noon, Tosfos argues. And Tosfos says that when we burn our chametz from 11 a.m. till 12 noon, even Rabbi Yehuda, the one who does require sreifa, even he says that it could be destroyed in any which way. And even Rabbi Yehuda, the Machmir, who says you need sreifa, even he only requires the sreifa when? After the Shas Vir. And comes Tosfos to Rabbi Yehuda and says, I'm right. I have Yerushalmi. Now, let's look at this Yerushalmi. And hey, if it's Machlok against Rashi and Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yehuda says, I have three questions against Rashi and Yerushalmi on my side, that's pretty powerful ammunition. Let's look at this Yerushalmi together, source number 8. It's pretty explicit. Tani says to Yerushalmi, Ashalohi give Matthew Ruro, Ask Mavara the whole Zahar. Until the time of beer contest in the morning, then you can destroy however you want. You should give my bureau, then you should destroy it with Srepa, but ask your Krabi Yehuda, says Yerushalmi. That means, Yerushalmi telling us that Rabbi Yehuda, the Machmir, the one who said you need Srepa, he only said you need Srepa after this month beer, after 12 noon, when it's already up to the right to have all that Chametz. But when you and I burn our Chametz on Wednesday morning, there's no first Yerushalmi and Rabbi Yehuda saying this is the right shot. Even if Yehuda requires Srepa, says you're allowed to burn however you want, meaning flush it in the toilet. So, what we have now is let's put everything together. I'm going to sort of head toward the finish line. We've had a machlokas, Tanoim, so we have to burn, Rabbi Yehuda said I have to burn my chametz, Chachamim say I don't have to burn my chametz. How do we paskin? We had a machlokas, Rashi said, we have to burn your chametz. The Gaonim said, no. The Gaonim said, you don't have to burn your chametz, we pass like Chachamim, like the robe, like the chametz, you can burn, destroy your chametz however you want, flush it down the toilet. The rest says, it's something that I saw, you better be machmir, you have to burn your chametz. Then we put a whole new Gemara that said that even when Rabbi Yehuda says that you have to burn your chametz, that only applies, well, Rashi says, burning chametz is between the earlier time when we and I burn chametz. So after you burn your chametz, after noon, then you could do it however you want. Rabbi Yehuda, quoting Yerushalmi, concludes that when you and I burn, that even if you can hold like Rabbi Yehuda, even if you can be machmir like Rabbi Yehuda, you could still burn your chametz from 11 to 12 however you want. Destroy chametz however you want, but flushing it down the toilet. That's what we have so far. Let me add some things to our equation. We haven't mentioned the Rambam. What does the Rambam hold? How to destroy the chametz? What does he hold about this big machlokas in the Tanaim in the Mishnah? In Pesachim, whether I'm supposed to destroy my chametz through burning it specifically or any which way? Look at the Rambam in source number 9. Pretty straight up. You case up your chametz, sorfo. You could burn it, or pour it into the rock, or you could crumble and throw it into the wind, or zorka layam. Wow. So the Rambam is pretty clear. The Rambam is makeup. But the Rush that we saw earlier says the stomach derives, you have to be machmer. Let us, I'm going to skip the tour in the back for a moment.
You are listening to BensTorah.com.
Let us jump straight down to the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch says, in source number 13, the Sukhna story in source number 13 says, case of your chametz, sorfa or pour of a dolarach, a zorka layam. That's what the Shulchan Aruch says. Sorry, that should be there. So, the Shulchan Aruch is passing how? The Shulchan Aruch is passing the Rambam, against the Rush. The Rush said, we have to be machmit for the Yudah and Jutzrefa. The Shulchan Aruch said, no, we don't pass in that way, we pass like Chachamim, like the Gaonim, and you could destroy your chametz however you want. So, according to the Shulchan Aruch, all this time here, Dr. Salman Zadah, you want to call, I can't see a picture, maybe you're calling in. So all the Salman Zadah is in our shul, and all the Sephardim are totally fine, they can flush their chametz down the toilet, halacha lemaisa, this is coming Wednesday morning. However, above the vast majority of you are Ashkenazim. And therefore, we have to look at the Ramah. Baminag l'sarfo. And this is what we're going to have to figure out, what does this Ramah mean, Baminag l'sarfo? Well, I think the word Baminag l'sarfo means, well, I mean, I can say it in a few different ways. Baminag l'sarfo means, Mr. Shulchan Aruch, Rabbi Shulchan Aruch, you're passing like Chachamim, you're passing like the Rambam, who you often passing like. Much of the Shulchan Aruch is taken verbatim from the Rambam. And you follow the Rambam, your Sephardi friend, who says that you go like Chachamim to destroy Chametz however you want. But I'm an Ashkenazi, says the Rambam. And I go like the Rush, and the Rush says that the Sephardi Raita do not have to destroy the Chametz through Tzreifa. If that's the case, then I would say, we're all Ashkenazim, we have a Sephardi Raita, we have to burn our Chametz through Tzreifa. That's how we have to understand these two words of the Rambam that are really the topic of our discussion tonight. What does these two words mean? What do Ashkenazim do? I want to show you something incredible that the Magen Avraham points out. Maybe the Rambam means, the middle sort of meaning, hey, you might as well be Machmir. You could throw it, you could dispose of it some other way, or the Sreifa. You should be Machmir, just Sreifa. Can I ask you a question? Is Sreifa Chumrah? Let me draw your eyes all the way back to the first source that we had on this Gemara. Source number one, Gemara Pesachim. If you said you have to do Sreifa, right? If you don't marry, and you're going to sell the Sreifa. But Tachon Omrim, Af, Vifarer, Vidor L'Ruach. What does that word Af mean? That word Af means you could even, you don't have to do Sreifa, you could even do other things. It sounds what? It sounds like, of course, Sreifa, everyone agrees, and Sreifa is definitely better. But you can even do some other things that are not as good or even suffice. If that's the case, according to what I just said, according to that app that I have here underlined, according to that word app, it comes out that Sreif is better. Even according to Chachamim, Sreif is better. You just don't have to do it. Look at what the Magen Avraham tells me to look at some other Rishonim. Aval, says the Rush, says the Magen Avraham. Here says Harif HaRush, they don't have the word Af Chachomim V'Chomim Mefarer. Again, look at this word up here, I'm sorry, I'm making it busy. Chachomim Af Mefarer V'Zolera. Chachomim said you could even, not only scrape, which is certainly better, you could even crumble it. Comes the other Rishonim who don't have that Girsa. They have the Girsa, the rest of the Rush, the Chachomim Omrim Mefarer. They say, don't do Sreifa. I don't want you to do Sreifa. You have you to say do Sreifa? We say, no Sreifa. We say, Mefarer. Crumble it. And get rid of it that way. But in other words, it's not necessarily a Chumrah to do Sreifa. Sreifa is not better. Sreifa is not better. Rabbi Yudit says to do Sreifa. And the Chumrah says, don't do Sreifa. I want you to crumble and get rid of it in a different way. I want you to crumble and throw it into the ocean, crumble and throw it into the air. That's into the wind. That's how I want you to get rid of your Chumrah. Not do Sreifa. Well, if that's the case, listen to this point. It's not Chumrah to do like Rabbi Yudit, to do Sreifa. It's not like one's better and the other's not as good. According to this year that I have highlighted, according to the Rest and the Rush, there are two ways to do it. Rabbi Yudit says Sreifa and not crumbling it. And the Chumrah says, I don't want you to do Sreifa. I want you to crumble it. So that's going to bring us a whole other way of understanding. So that means this. What's up? Says, as summing up in the Gruz perspective, the entire sugya of what we learned tonight, and we will be guided halakha l'maisa. What we needed to do tonight, and maybe I should have started with these two words of the Rama, is to understand that Ashkenazim have a Rama that says haminag l'sarfa, and we have to understand what does it mean haminag l'sarfa. How strong a minhag is it? Does that mean that the suffix d'oraisa and we should be machmir? Because Rama is an Ashkenazi, and that's what the Rush holds. And don't go like the Shulchan Aruch who says you could like the Rambam with that Sephardi, you could do whatever you want. We go like the Rush. We're Ashkenazi, and we'll follow the Rush as an Ashkenazi for the sake, as opposed to the Rambam. Let's see how to understand these two words of Rama. It says the Gruz. Rabosai, reading Gruz on Shulchan Aruch is an incredible exercise of demonstrating that you know it Sugya well. If you can read the Gruz. Because the Gruz says three words here, three words there, three words there, three words there. It doesn't say full sentences. It doesn't tell you what he's really trying to say. You have to be, like Baruch Hashem, we went through all the sources together, and now we're going to be able to read this Gruz inside to understand what he's telling us. Raminag. Right? Rama said, Raminag l'sarfa. What does it mean, Raminag? That's the Gemara. Russell Omar, listen carefully. Da'af, Rabbi Yehuda, ain't sarfa el achashesh. Da'af. Says the Gemara, you know what the Rama means when he says Raminag l'sarfa? It means that the halakha is you don't have to burn it. Why not? Why don't you have to burn it? What about Rabbi Yehuda said you have to burn it? Explains the Gemara that even if you hold like Rabbi Yehuda, as we said about 5 minutes ago, even if you do hold like Rabbi Yehuda, that you do have to burn the chametz, that's only when? That's only in the afternoon when it's already usher that you have to do the Sreifa. Based on Rabbi Natan and Tosos and Yerushalmi. But, if you're going to burn the Chometz when you and I burn the Chometz, then even if you hooded the Machmir one would hold, then you can do other ways of destroying. Zim Kain says the Rush, says the Agra. Afla have posted Rabbi Yehuda, either of those who are posted like Rabbi Yehuda. Like the Rush, the Hamradik Rush, right? Our posted, the Rush, the Ashkenazi posted. Who's Machmir like Rabbi Yehuda? We should have done that because we have proof that we should pass like Rabbi Yehuda, right? We have a mission Tzmura that goes like him. Since when you and I burn our chametz before this man is the daraisa, even Rabbi Yehuda who says Sreifa allows burning it destroying it any which way you want, including flushing it down the toilet. And therefore, Rabbosai, why do we have this minhag to be machmir? Concludes the Gemara, this is the end of this section. Rashi. The minhag is to be machmir for Rashi who holds, like Rabbi Yehuda, you should burn it to be yotzei Sreifa. But we don't pass in that way. That's not really the halacha. It's not a suffix for us. Aval it is good compared to Tosfos that we reject the requirement to burn the chametz the day before when we and I burn the chametz. The chayin is kimu kol haposkim. Rabosai, we have a psak. The Gra is telling us that halacha l'maisa kol haposkim. All the poskim. The very strong language of the Gra and the Shulchan Aruch to say all the poskim agree. All the poskim agree that you are not required to burn your chametz on Erev Pesach. Yes, it is a minhag, but let's just put everything together, review everything all together, because we're finished. The minhag is that if you hold like Rabbi Yehuda, it says you have to do Sreifa. Some people don't hold like Rabbi Yehuda. Even if you hold like him, you also have to hold like him for this Chumrah, that the burning in the morning has to be the Sreifa. So if you have both of those things, then you should do, which we don't. Then you should do Sreifa. We don't hold like that on both sides. And therefore, Allah Kalamaita, it seems clear to me, based on the Sugya and based on the consensus of Kol HaPoskim. Kol HaPoskim! The Gra is telling us. If the Gra says, Kain is Kim Kol HaPoskim, you don't have to question yourself. Allah Kalamaita, Abbasai, it's a beautiful minhag. There are a lot of beautiful minhag that we have. There's no requirement, Midin, to burn your chametz on Erev Pesach. It's a nice thing to do. It's not a halacha. It's not a suffix in halacha. It's a minhag, just like many other minhagim. And if there's going to be a situation, Rabbosai, where there is a danger that potentially could come into play because of this minhag, God forbid, of people gathering together in this day and age where we're concerned with Corona, it seems clear to me if there's any concern that we would forego this nice minhag in order to stay clear of any, even a far-reaching danger. And therefore, halacha l'maaseh, Rabbosai, everybody can flush their chametz down the toilet on Wednesday without any concerns. They're not violating any halacha. They're not in any which way doing anything that's questionable according to halacha. There's a little minhag, it's a beautiful minhag, and when you could do minhagim without losing in other fronts, then great, do minhagim. But if there's a concern for a bigger picture, then the minhagim are certainly the first things that we should shed for the sake of greater public safety. And therefore, halach l'maaseh both sides, that's my stock, that's how we're coming out, that's what all the posts have come out in over the past week, that you can flush your chametz down the toilet, as we see here, that the minhag to be machmir of the Ramah is just a light minhag, not a concern for real halach l'maaseh concerns, not any real halachic concerns. That is the halacha part of our shiur. I see there are a number of comments on the chat, and I will see if there's anything I can share with you. Okay, Yanki, I appreciate your public safety. Yanki's always worried about everybody. Of course, if it's a concern for public safety, then we'd be willing to do a lot. We might even be willing to violate things that are somewhat halachic, like minyanim, and like Parshas Parah, which we gave up on, even though Parshas Parah, according to one opinion, in the Shulchan Aruch is a Daraita. And unfortunately, Rabbi said we didn't do Parshas Parah together. Our shul calls for Parshas Parah. If you open up the Shulchan Aruch, it's a day that says it's Daraita. So of course, if there's a health risk, we'll be willing to violate even Daraita. But the goal of tonight was to show you that you don't have to be nervous or feel bad. I mean, Israelis feel bad that you can't do minyan, but that there's it's not a din at all whatsoever to do Sreifas Chametz, because even if you hold like a Yehuda, which maybe we don't, even if Yehuda holds, you're allowed to do flushing down the toilet. Okay, the Rabbosai, I'd like now to shift to the second half of our shiur and discuss an inyan with you that I think is important to have in mind, especially this year, and the way I'm calling it is drawing chizik from Pesach in solitude. We're in a situation where many families are not going to be with the people who they planned on being with. My in-laws were supposed to come in from Eretz Yisrael at Purim and for Pesach. They're supposed to have two trips. They couldn't make either trip. So my in-laws are going to be by themselves in Eretz Yisrael without their children, without their grandchildren. My parents are supposed to be with me for the Seder. My parents are not going to join me for the Seder. So what we're going to do is, as you'll hear me, I'll say tomorrow to the bigger crowd and to the rest of the shul, and I'll be helpful for you guys as an email. What we suggest is that on Erev Pesach, what people should do, everyone should get dressed for Pesach an hour and a half early. I know it's hard, but you can do it. And for the hour before Pesach, you'll Zoom your grandparents, you'll Zoom your grandchildren, you'll Zoom the Alta Babas, Alta Zedas, the 8 o'clock, the year 8 o'clock, and you'll Zoom, and the little kids will sing Manishtana to you, and you'll sing Manishtana to your mother and to your father, and you'll sing all the family traditions for the Hanukkah songs, and this way you'll actually be awake for Chazgadia, you'll actually be awake for Echam Yodea, you'll spend a full hour on Zoom singing together, and you could give the kids a little Shnaps cup filled with grape juice, and you could hear them make a boy for Yagafa, you could answer Amen on Zoom, as we are willing to be Mekel, to answer Amen on Zoom, and you could have a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful hour to cover all the emotional aspects that is such a part of the Seder experience with our family. But for safety concerns, do not bring your in-laws, your father-in-law, your mother-in-law, your children to your house for Pesach. It is not worth it. Even if they're going to be by themselves, it's a terrible thing. I was speaking to somebody, one of the physicians in the neighborhood, and he told me, yeah, my grandmother told me, there's a physician in our neighborhood, and he's grew up in this shul, he will remain nameless. He said, So my grandmother had not been alone for Seder since she was in Auschwitz. My grandmother was not alone for a Seder since she was in Auschwitz. This year she will be. And then he finished. And she said that even in Auschwitz, she was with people. Very powerful line. But that's what we have to do, Rabbi Zay. I'm asking and I'm pleading. We have somebody on the line right here in his get-up for his COVID-19 scrubs. I didn't even ask him to do that. You see he's wearing his mask on his face, and you see he's wearing his overalls because he's working in the ER and he has to protect himself. This is not a game. It's not, okay, we quarantined for 2 weeks, we're safe, we're pretty safe, I was pretty careful, they'll be pretty careful. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. Be'ezus Hashem, we'll have many years together in good health to share with our grandparents, our grandchildren, our parents, our in-laws, our whoever it is. We'll have plenty of years in good health. It's not worth making a mistake and being foolish this year, chas v'shalom, regretting it for the rest of our life. It's just not worth it. Everybody should stay where you are and be safe and make the family around you safe and don't try to worry about the emotions of the three-day yontif at the expense of people's lives. That's our message. But if that's going to be the case, then many of us are not going to be with the family we want to be with for Pesach. I think it's important for us to understand how we could find chizuk and what we could focus on during the Seder. If I'm expecting to sit with my grandchildren and hear their pearly voices and they're fighting and they're spilling out the grape juice, it's just my wife and I, we're not going to spill the grape juice, we're not going to have all the excitement of the kids jumping up, we're not going to have the running around of the afikoman. What's my Seder going to look like? So I want to share with you a focus that perhaps we can think about together to give us chizuk that we could really enjoy our Seder and focus on some very important yisodas of what the Seder can and should be. And hopefully that will be a chizuk for all of us. I'd like you to join me in learning a little bit about the mitzvah Sifrei Yetzias Mitzrayim for a few minutes. We have a Sefer HaMitzvot, both of the Rambam and of the Sefer HaChinuch, both talking about the mitzvah of Sifrei Yetzias Mitzrayim. Excuse me. Okay, I will wash my hands after this, don't worry. So both the Rambam and the Sefer HaMitzvot and the Sefer HaChinuch say separately, look what they say, says the Rambam, mitzvah yitshitziv on the Sefer Yetzias Mitzrayim on the 15th day of Nisan. V'chol ma'asher Yosef, v'yare hadvarim. The more we talk about what Hashem did to us, ma'asher atzol on Hashem, and that which Hashem did to our enemies, from all of the terrible things that they did for us, and all the more we talk about all the vengeance that Hashem avenged on our behalf, the more we talk about all these things, and look at the next phrase. And the more we thank Hashem, the more we do all these things via Yotze Tov. Kamosh Amru Kol Amarek L'Stapra B'Yitziyas Mitzrayim Harei Zeh Meshuvah. You and I know that phrase in Agada. There's one line that doesn't fit here. The mitzvah is L'Stapra B'Yitziyas Mitzrayim, to tell the story. To say, and he's very specific, Ram was very specific what the story was. What Hashem did to us, and what he did to our enemies, and how he avenged our vengeance. That's what he did to us. That is the story. That's what we have to be marach. That's the mitzvah. CPS, yes, that's right. The Pazaka Vikazo Vikhavimar, that's the mitzvah Vikazo Vikha, the story of what happened. Where did, and why, is the Rambam saying that part of CPS, yes, Mitzrayim is also to thank Hashem for the goodness. The mitzvah Sipur is CPS, Mitzrayim. Vikazo Tel Vikha, tell a story. Where do you see that you also have to thank Hashem? Fascinatingly enough, okay, the Rambam said it, but the Sipha Chinuch, in his mission to tell us what is the mitzvah CPS, yes, Mitzrayim, he says the mitzvah to tell the story, and again, same exact point. Lahodos, Lahalel Shabbat Hashem is Barakhan for the Nisim. I don't understand, Rambam and Rezi Tevachina. The mitzvah to tell a story. The mitzvah to tell a story vividly. The mitzvah to tell exactly what happened. The mitzvah to tell what Hashem did, and how terribly we were persecuted previously, and how Hashem saved us. But where do you have this additional component that's included and to be incorporated and injected into this mitzvah? To also say thank you for it. That's question number one. You see my red. Why is the thanks and praise incorporated in the mitzvah? Sipur Yitzchak. Question number two is a question that always bothers anyone, you know, especially the kids. When they look at Haggadah, they always misapply that the worst part. They don't like this part of the drushes. You made drush in the pasuk, and you learn how to do first in this pasuk. The drush of Arami, Ovi Ovi. You look at the Rambam presents this mitzvah of Haggadah, Sipur Yitzchak Mitzrayim. The Rambam says, of course, you have to, there's a format to this mitzvah, as far as the hasla, the gnusas, time shvach. How do you do this mitzvah, Sipur Yitzchak Mitzrayim? Says the Rambam, Behu, Shiyidrosh, Mea Arami, Ovi Ovi, Ashi Yigmar Kalkash, you learn the parish of Arami, Ovi Ovi. The Chol HaMosif Umar, the drush part is do, Harizu Meshuvach. Why doesn't the Rambam say, anyone who elongates Sipur Yitzchak Mitzrayim? Anybody who elongates all the stories of Parashat Bo and the Shalach, of that all the makos and all the kriyas yamsuf miracles and the mun and the air and anani hakavod are raised in meshuvah. Why is it that kol amar v'pazet bedrash v'pashas zu are raised in meshuvah? And sort of what we already asked, just with a little twist, my third question, which is not so different than the previous question, is why is that kol amar v'saper specifically in Arami Yavi? Now I want to share with you a very simple answer that Rav Meir Simcha, the Tameach, the Meshech Chachma, says why we specifically choose Arami Yavi as the source for the drasha of the Haggadah for Sipur Yitzchak Mitzrayim. There's always something that's brilliant. I never saw it until today, I just found it today, and it's absolutely phenomenal. And of course, there's a fundamental question we always wonder when it comes to Seder, why Arami Ovi Ravi, what's special about that parasha uniquely, that we focus our Haggadah through that version of Yitzchak Mitzrayim, and not the actual storyline, which is the parasha of Bo'Bashah, when it actually happened? Why are we taking the psukim from the Dvarim of Mikra Bikurim? Seder Tameh, very simple. Because we know that the Maaseh is called Lechem Oni. And the Gemara Pesachim tells us why it's called Lechem Oni. Lechem she what? She'onim alav dvarim harbe. A very unusual phrase, no? Why is it called, like, I don't know, lechem haggadah? Lechem sipur? Lechem oni? She'onim alav? What an unusual phrase. Where else do we see such a phrase? That language of ania, of answering, of responding. Says Rav Aris Hameach so brilliantly. We find it somewhere else. We find it in the sugya of Mikra Bikurim. If you look here in the pasuk of Mikra Bikurim, you come to the kohen, and you bring the Bikurim, and you say, Higati hayom Hashem l'kech habatzi l'aretz Hashem, I want to thank Hashem for bringing me to Eretz Yisrael, giving me a farm. Vanisa pasukei, vanisa v'amaita l'fnei Hashem l'kech ha'mi ovei davidi. Says the man, Simcha, vanisa v'amaita. You see, that lechem only is telling you that you're supposed to have bread with an aniyah? What is an aniyah in the Torah? What is that answering? I know, says the man, Simcha. It says the story of Yitzchak Mitzrayim is told to us with the word aniyah elsewhere in the Torah. Where? Not in Bo, not in the Shalach, not in Yisro, but in Parshas Kisavo in Dvarim, by the Parsha Bikurim. Vanisa v'amaita. Vanisa. That's what it says in the Meir Simcha Lechemat. Lechem she'onim alav dvarim harbei. The Chazal saw that since the Torah says lechem only she'onim alav dvarim harbei, it has to be the parsha that is used with the same word of Anisav Amat. And that's why it says lechem mishnah. I'm sorry, the Lechemat, the Meir Simcha. We specifically use the parsha of Arami Yovi Ravi. Okay. So now we understand the Torah tells us that Arami Yovi Ravi should be our text, our primary text through which we're going to learn the Sipur Yitzchak Mitzrayim. Why? Why is that? What is this parsha of Arami Yovi Ravi? What is this parsha of Mikra Bikurim? Look what Rashi says. Rashi says, as you come to the Kohen, Ramatei Lav. You say to him, what do you say to him? Says Rashi, She'en cha kafui tova. Mikra Bikurim is for one point and one point only, to demonstrate that you're not a kafui tov. Comes the Sifrei Chachamim and says, where do you see that in the words of Ramatei Lav? Where does Ramatei Lav have to do with that you're not a kafui tov? Says the Sifrei Chachamim, very simple. Because if you look at the pasuk, it's a really weird pasuk. You come before the Beis, you come to the Beis HaMikdash with your Bikurim in hand, and you approach the Mizbeach, and you approach the, and you say to the Kohen, you look him in the eyes and say, Ramatei Lav, I'd like to tell Hashem that I came into Eretz Yisrael. I could just imagine Hashem sitting on his kisei hakavod, looking down, stroking his long white beard, going off and saying, thank you, I never realized that. I never realized that you came into Eretz Yisrael. I mean, what does it mean? You should say to Hashem, I came into Eretz Yisrael. Kibati al-Haaretz. Says it to Sechachamim, clearly, you're not just stating to inform God, oh God, you might not have realized where I am, but I made it into Israel. Of course I know you're not just Hashem says that. No. The point here is not just to say that you're not, the point is to say thank you for bringing me into Eretz Yisrael. That's the parasha of Mikra Bikurim, as Sechachamim, as Rashi tells us, the parasha of Hakaret HaTov. And because it's the parasha of Hakaret HaTov, that's why it is the foundation of that Gaza. And now we go back to our question. Mitzrayim is which parasha in the Torah? As we just proved, it's the parasha of Mikra Bikurim. It's the parasha of Akaras HaTov. So what is part and parcel of the Mitzvah of Sipur? Nothing else than thanking Hashem. Let's go back to the Rambam Sefer Mitzvah and Sefer Chinuch. It's going to come out so beautifully. The Rambam in the Sefer Mitzvah told us that the Mitzvah tells the story. And what's part of it? Saying thank you. The Sefer Chinuch told us that it's the Mitzvah of Sipur Yitzchias Mitzrayim. What's a part of it? L'hodos l'halal l'shabeach l'Hashem Yisparach. Because that is the Mitzvah of Sipur Yitzchias Mitzrayim, not Parshas Bor B'Shalach. But the Mitzvah of Sipur Yitzchias Mitzrayim is to review what happened, but in the context of being able to say thank you. And not just be able to say thank you, but not being a kafui tova. There's a lot that we could think about this Pesach. We could think about the fact that I'm not at the seder with my father, I'm not at the seder with my mother, I'm not at the seder with my mother-in-law, I'm not at the seder with my father-in-law. Since they're not listening, because it's 4 in the morning, I can make a father-in-law joke. Oh, Baruch Hashem, I'm not with the father-in-law. You have to say, thank you, Hashem, I'm not with my father-in-law. Okay, we'll leave the jokes aside, because they're not listening to the recording. But, Baruch Hashem, I love my father and mother-in-law. But, I can think about it all sit along. I don't get to see my grandchildren. I don't get to see my grandmother. I don't get to hear the stories and hear the off-key tunes from my grandfather sing the song I hear from his grandfather. I can't hear my grandchildren learn the Manishtana. They just learn how to read. All kinds of things I could think about. And I understand why somebody would think about that. And I understand how there's so much to consider I don't have, and all the lacks, and all the tsar, and all the difficulties, and all the things I don't have. So when you get to Arami Ovid Avi, what we have to remember is that specifically we're going to say Arami Ovid Avi because the focus of our Seder can't be what we don't have, because that would make us a kafui tov. The goal of what we have to do at the Seder is to thank Hashem for all that we do have. To thank Hashem, Baruch Hashem, I have parents, children, whoever it is that we have or don't have. Even if a person is going to find themselves by the Seder absolutely alone, there's still so much to say thank you for. And saying thank you is the yisod of what the Seder is. It's the yisod of what the mitzvah of Sipur Yitzchias Mitzrayim is, of what Bigat HaLevicha is. And with this we can understand a beautiful question, and a very fascinating question. Ruth Moshe makes this point, in the Sefer Yerach Lamadim. We know that there's a mitzvah every night of Sipur Yitzchias Mitzrayim, and then there's a once a year mitzvah of Sipur Yitzchias Mitzrayim. And I'm not going to go into the Reb Chaim who says what's the difference between the two mitzvahs. I want to ask a different question. Chazal say that La'asid Lavo, there's not going to be Zechirat Yitzchias Mitzrayim. According to Machlokes Hanan, we mentioned this in Haggadah. According to Ben Zoma, there's no Yitzchias Mitzrayim. We're not going to do Zechir Yitzchias Mitzrayim in the future. We're not going to say that third paragraph of Shema in Yemos HaMashiach. Why not? Well, look at this piece from Rabbi Yochum Olshin. Look what he says in this little piece. The pasuk says in Yirmiyah, if you can see my cursor, I think you see my cursor. There's a pasuk in Yirmiyah that says, in the future, after the future Gula, Lo Yomru Ol Chai Hashem, no longer will people say, Chai Hashem Hashem Elah Tzidei Tzomei Mitzrayim. They're not going to say, oh, you remember how it was incredible, when Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim? Because they're going to be bigger than them. Hashem took us out of Corona. Hashem took us out of America. Hashem took us out of Golos. Hashem built the third base to make this a Mashiach. Yemos HaMashiach. Hashem did this incredible Nisim. Hashem gave us Eretz Yisrael, gave us Yerushalayim, gave us the Harabai, built the base to make this for us. We're not going to think about the little things like Sipur Yitzchias Mitzrayim, based on the Pasuk in Yirmiyah. Ben Zoma says, we're not going to need the mitzvah of Zechirat Yitzchias Mitzrayim. And he asks Rabbi Yochum Olshin a very simple question. Well, that logic applies equally, not only to the mitzvah of Zechirat Yitzchias Mitzrayim, that svara applies equally to the mitzvah of Seder, of Haggadah, of Sipur Yitzchias Mitzrayim on the night of Pesach. So how come that same Ben Zoma who says, and in the future there's not going to be a considering of it's zichir, there's not going to be the mitzvah zichir at Yitzchias Mitzrayim of the nightly mitzvah, the daily mitzvah zichir at Yitzchias Mitzrayim, because we're going to have a bigger nisim. Why doesn't he say that about the Seder night? Why doesn't he say that in the future, lots of love, after Yom HaMashiach arrives, there won't be a mitzvah of zichir at Yitzchias Mitzrayim? The answer is what we just said. Because the mitzvah zichir at Yitzchias Mitzrayim is to remember something special, and there'll be greater things to remember. But the mitzvah zichir at Yitzchias Mitzrayim is not just to remember, it's to say thank you. And that mitzvah saying thank you applies for anything and everything, for the little things, for the big things. Yes, there might be bigger things to say thank you for. But we still have to say thank you for the little things. And that is the goal of what we have cut out for ourselves this Seder. Whoever we are with, or more importantly, whoever we are not with, to thank Hashem for all the bracha that we have. I want to share with you and finish with this very last source, a beautiful piece of Mesiyas Yisharim. A beautiful piece of Mesiyas Yisharim in Kinyan Hadrizus. And Mesiyas Yisharim talks about what could we do to motivate ourselves to serve Hashem better, to be better Jews, to do mitzvahs better. What is it that will awaken us? Says Mesiyas Yisharim, Masha Yuchala Hazbir, that which could awaken its Oru Sazah, is what? Is by looking at all the goodness that Hashem gave us. It's Taklus Baruch HaTovah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did to us. Chaleis V'Chalsha, all the incredible things that He did from the moment that we were born till our very last day. The more we focus on the goodness that Hashem does to us, the more we focus on the blessing and the bounty that He poured on us, well, you want to pay Him back. But, says Mesiyas Yisharim, you can't pay Him back. He doesn't need anything, right? Your next door neighbor does you a favor, he shovels your walk through the snow and you didn't have to go outside and put on your boots. So, next Shabbos, you cook for your wife, will cook some cookies for you, you'll cook some cookies for bring it over as a thank you. Let me ask you, Hashem does so much, and more, you think of all the things Hashem does for me. Pay it back, you can't. You can't pay it back. So at least say thank you. At least say thank you. I can't pay Hashem back, at least say thank you, Hashem. Rabotai, the challenge that I challenge you with, my friends, and the task that I task you with, my friends, whoever you will be with or without, will not be with. I'm sure, I'm quite confident that almost everybody on this shiur, on this conference, on this Zoom call, is probably not, almost everybody is not going to have who they plan on being without the Seder. This is the outline. You're going to be who, with whoever you are. You're not going to be with whoever you're not going to be with. And this is what we have to think about. Look what the Mitzvah Hashem says. We have to thank Hashem for the Ezem HaSashem HaMatzvei. Whatever situation we find ourselves in. If we're wealthy, or if we're poor. If we're healthy, even if we're sick. Look at what he says. If a person's healthy, if a person's wealthy, okay, it's obvious. Thank Hashem. Why are you focusing on the fact that your mother-in-law, your daughter-in-law, your son-in-law, your brother-in-law, your mother-in-law, you're right, they're not here. They're eating set at their house. But it's rough, I'm healthy. But it's rough, I have my rent, my mortgage being paid, I finish paying off, whatever it is, I can afford living. What if you can't? You know what? On the outside, I have to thank Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I had enough to eat until now, I haven't died for salvation this far. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, definitely, you always make sure that I somehow pay my bills. I don't know how, I don't know what happens, I don't know what I'm going to do next month. But I'm here, I still have heat in my house, I still have a roof over my head, I still have food to eat. Well, it's fun, somebody's sick, what do they have to say thank you about? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm still here. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you gave me the biggest bracha of all, you gave me the bracha of life. There's no one here, there's no one alive who can't say thank you to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This morning I was diving at home, and I have the advantage, the opportunity that I never have. When I come to shul in the morning, I basically stay at shul till I go to YU and start teaching, or the days I'm in shul to prepare my drushes on Friday, I stay in shul till later in the day. I'm never home when my kids happen. So first of all, I'm able to correct them to say Brichas HaShachar with the proper enunciation. Not Pokeh Ivrim, but Pokeh Ivrim. And Malvish Arumim, but Malvish Arumim. So I'm glad I was home for the past 2 weeks to help my children say the Brichas HaShachar with the proper, correct way of speaking, Lashon HaKodesh, as is the mitzvah. But this morning I was talking to my kids and pointing out to them, do you realize how much gratitude we have to have? I was said Brichas HaShachar this morning earlier in the morning before I loaded my tefillah before davening, and then I davened a little later. So I wasn't wearing my shoes early in the morning. I said Brichas HaShachar, I wasn't wearing my shoes. I told my kids, you know what? I'm going to put on my shoes now because I'm about to say Shalom Lichol Tzaki. Shalom Lichol Tzaki. Thank you, Hashem. You gave me shoes. We have ground to walk on. We just have to open our eyes. To the extent that we open our eyes, to that extent we'll be able to be grateful. We'll be able to have gratitude. We'll become happier people. We'll be better husbands. We'll be better wives. We'll be better children. We'll be better parents. We'll be better Ovdei Hashem. We'll be happier. We'll be more satisfied with who we are. To the extent that we're able to express our gratitude. And that is exactly what the mitzvah of Sipur Yetziyas Mitzrayim is. That's the sort of the mitzvah. That's specifically why the parsha of Arami Oyevid Avi is chosen, because that's the parsha of Nafiyah Kvitovah, thanking Hashem for the bracha that he gave us. That's the mitzvah of the Hodos Lo Yisparach HaMashach Malan Mechassadav. The more and more and more that we're able to thank Hashem. I don't have so-and-so here. Thank you, Hashem, for all the things I do have. And that's our goal, that's our challenge, that's our task. And that's going to be what will give all of us a wonderful, wonderful yontif together. Whoever we're together with or not together with, we're going to have a wonderful yontif. And we're going to have a simchatif yontif. And we're going to have a grateful yontif. And because of that, we're going to have a very happy yontif. I wish you all a kosher v'sameach. I want to thank you all for joining us tonight. And thank you for participating.
You have been listening to a presentation of BensTorah.com.